Welcome to the West Point Church Podcast. Here you can find past and future messages. Be sure to subscribe so you get updates as soon as those sermons are posted. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a good week.
Well, this morning, we are continuing our message series in the book of Luke, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 6 this morning. So if you want to jump there, I'm going to warm you up a little bit first, talk a little bit about this passage of scripture, then we'll jump into Luke chapter 6. And kind of the theme, the heading, the title today would be Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath. And we'll explain kind of what that means as we go. But I want us to begin with the understanding. I'm going to use these two words this morning interchangeably. And while they're not exactly the same thing, in our context, they have a lot of similarities. And those are the two words, legalism and religion. Now, you might think religion, well, we're here at a church today, and Christianity is a religion, and yes, technically, you are correct. But in our world today, in our culture today, what has become known as a religion is very different than what we believe as Christians to be the truth of Scripture, that we cannot just have a religion and be a part of an organization and follow a set of rules and standards so that something might happen, so that we might make it into heaven one day, but rather we can have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And so having a differentiation between the word religion and what we believe today is really important to me. That's why one of our three core values is relationship with God. Because we believe that religion is dead. That every other religion in the world, and you look at you can take your pick, you can name anyone you want. Every other religion is about what you can do to earn God's favor. But Christianity is different. The premise of Christianity is completely separate from every other religion in the world. It's all about what God did for us by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. And so if we begin at a completely different place than any other religion, then we need to identify what separates us, what makes us different, what makes our faith alive when the rest of the world is dead and dying and headed for hell. And this is why it's so important, because there isn't many different ways to heaven. There's only one. And it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said these words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if that is the foundational principle of our faith and everything that we build our lives as believers on, then we need to identify what has corrupted so many other people and why that belief system is so dangerous. And the word legalism is a word that we're going to use to kind of talk about those values, that our works, our effort, the things that we do ultimately earn favor with God, and how we as Christians, unintentionally most of the time, incorporate those legalistic beliefs into our belief system. And this story today is a perfect example of how people take something that's good and twist it just a little bit and turn it into something that is unbiblical and ungodly. So, here's the thing. You can be a religious person. You can go to church every single Sunday. You can tithe to the penny. You can read your Bible for exactly 60 minutes every single day. You can abstain from alcohol. You can dress modestly. You can never exceed the recommended calorie intake by the federal government. You can follow every rule in the Bible to the extreme and be completely dead in your faith because you've missed the most important thing. You have religion, not relationship. And so the battle that we're talking about today is legalism. And the battlefield is this idea of the Sabbath. And just to give you a little bit of background before we jump into the text today, Sabbath is if you were to go to Israel, they would pronounce it Shabbat. It's the same thing. So if you've heard that word before, that's the Hebrew pronunciation of the word that we use as Sabbath, because we mess up pronunciations all the time. That's what we do. So the Sabbath, by the way, was not a punishment for the people of Israel. It was a gift that God gave them. And so if we understand that premise from the beginning, God says, you're going to work 6 days, and then you're going to take a day off. Now, that is a good thing, right? Can we agree that's a good thing? It doesn't need any additional rules with it, okay? Like, God meant that to be a blessing. It's like a birthday party. It's good in and of itself. It doesn't need rules and standards to make it fun. Have you ever met a mom at a kid's birthday party that sucked the fun out of the party? You all know who I'm talking about. They're the people that the kids are playing and having a good time. And they're like, okay, kids, it's 4:15. We're going to play pin the tail on the donkey now. Right? And we have exactly 17 minutes to do that. And then after that's done, then we're going to open gifts. But we need to open gifts a certain way. And you can't tear the packaging because we're going to reuse the wrapping paper. So just peel off the tape gently. And then we're going to eat dinner. And it's going to be vegetables with no dip. Okay? And super healthy food because we can't have any calories here. We can't have anything that's bad for us. And then we're going to have birthday cake, but it's going to be like some gross cake that nobody really wants. No chocolate frosting on this cake, right? And then after cake is done, then we're going to have unstructured playtime, which is structured for 15 minutes. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? You suck all the fun out of everything, right? Like, a birthday party is supposed to be a good time. Like, it's supposed to be relaxed. It's supposed to be fun. And God intended the Sabbath to be a blessing to his people. He knew that we are wired in such a way that we do stupid things sometimes, and we tend to overwork ourselves. And so if we didn't have that constraint and that limit, that we would push ourselves to the place of being unhealthy. And so he established this law of the Sabbath to be a blessing to his people, to cause them to take a step back and to relax and to rest and to recover from the work that they were doing. It was meant to be a blessing. It didn't need any additional rules. Well, what happened was religious people screwed it up, okay? This is the way that our world works, all right? So these people, the scribes, they created 39 different definitions of what it meant to work on the Sabbath day. And if you did any of those things, you were in violation of the Sabbath, right? So it was a simple rule to begin with. God said, don't work on the Sabbath. And then the scribes took it and said, and here are 39 examples of things that you cannot do. And if you do any of them, then you are sinning, right? When we add to God's perfect word, that's a perfect example of legalism. So let's start in Luke chapter 6, start at verse 1. It says, on a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. Yeah, you read that right. Okay, I just want you to catch that first. Plucked and ate some heads of grains, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful for you to do on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, he entered the house of God, and he took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now we're going to keep going, but we're going to stop there, because I want us to understand what's going on here. It says they were walking through these grain fields. And as part of Jewish law, one of the rules was if you were passing through a field and you were hungry and you wanted something to eat, you could pick and eat what you could eat at that time. So that was, they weren't stealing. That was acceptable for them to do. And they were taking it and they were rolling it in their hands. And they were confronted by these Pharisees in the middle of the grain field. All right, I don't know about you, but if I were to go walk through somebody's cornfield, there wouldn't be a bunch of Pharisees just hanging out in the middle of it. They were there because they were following him. Okay? They were looking for something to pick on him for. And so they followed him into this grain field, and the law of the Sabbath that they had added to these 39 laws, four of them had to do with harvesting grain. And so they were picking, harvesting grain, milling it with their hands, right? Because it says the disciples were rubbing it with their fingers and preparing it. And so they were violating four different laws of the Sabbath by eating that grain. Now, is that not the most ridiculous, stupid thing that you have ever heard of in your life? Can I tell you something? Legalism will steal your joy. When we are focused on the rules and following things that really have nothing to do with what God wants to do in us and through us, then we will suck the life and joy out of our own lives. So Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees, and he turns it back on them and shows them how ridiculous their argument is. He reminds them of a famous story that they would have been well aware of. He reminds them of a story of David and his men when they were hungry. And they came to the priest, and the priest said, "All we have left is the sacred bread. And you're not supposed to eat that." So the priest asks David, he says, "Are you God-fearing men? Are you good guys?" And David assures him that they're God-fearing and that they want to honor God. And so then he says, "Here you go, here's the bread." Now, here's the question. Did they sin? No, right? Like, that was the point of that story, that it was okay, right? Jesus shows them how ridiculous their assumptions are. He's saying, if it's okay for David to eat the bread that is reserved for the priests because he was hungry and because that was the right thing, because God has compassion on his people, then how can you come here and tell me that eating a grain because we picked it off the stalk on the Sabbath is wrong or sinful or unholy, right? The argument is just ridiculous. And he pointed that out. He showed them how ridiculous their assumptions were. But wait, it gets worse. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 6, here's what it says. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether or not he would heal on the Sabbath so that they might find a reason to accuse him. And I love this part. I love when Jesus reads people's minds. It happens all the time in Scripture. And it says, but he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man with the withered hand, by the way, just as Jesus read their minds, right? He knows the thoughts that you have as well. I just want to point that out. If there are things that you're thinking, but you'd never say out loud, like God knows what's inside your head. He knows the thoughts that you have in that same way. He knows your heart. He knows your motivation. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to destroy it? No answer. And after looking around at them all, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and the hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. See, that's what happens when you're a religious person, right? You can't even enjoy something good. You can't enjoy something that we would find exciting and enthralling. Now, I think the first thing that we can notice about this passage of Scripture that we just read is that they didn't come to listen to Jesus and to learn and to grow and to listen to some good teaching and to be encouraged in their spirit. No, they came, the Bible says very clearly, they came to find a reason to accuse him. They came to find fault with what he was saying. This is what religious people do. They don't come to learn or grow or serve. They come with an agenda. They come to pick at people. So if you came to church this morning with that thought, can I tell you something? You will probably find some reason to be upset or frustrated, because West Point Church is a church with flawed and imperfect people doing flawed and imperfect ministry, right? There are flaws in our greeting team. There are flaws in our usher team. Sometimes I get up here Sunday morning to take the offering and I speak ushers into existence by faith, all right? Because I just have a feeling that somebody didn't show up today, and it's like somebody always steps up and grabs that basket, right? There are flaws in our worship team. Sometimes they play wrong notes. Not today. They were awesome today. No, but sometimes they might be off key a little bit, or they might play a wrong note, or they might make a mistake. They might even sing a song that the words aren't perfect. There are even flaws in our prayer team. Can you believe that, Teresa? Is that true? Are you a flawed person? I mean, you've been doing this a long time, but like we are flawed people, and let's not even talk about the message, okay? Can I tell you something? I have so many flaws, I have enough for everybody here. And the words that I say, if you were to pick them apart, you could probably find a million things to criticize and critique. All right? But we come with the idea, if we come with the idea that the church was created to fulfill your every expectation and meet your every convenience, then you're going to have a very difficult time in any church. Now, here these Pharisees were coming to Jesus, who was perfect, and they were still finding flaws. They came to find flaws in him. The problem with that mentality is that you're coming to have your desires satisfied rather than coming to meet with Jesus. If your purpose of coming to church this morning is to have the perfect worship experience so that you can leave a 5-star review on Google, then you're probably going to be disappointed. But if you come to encounter the presence of God himself and worship him and exalt his name, then you're going to find fulfillment and satisfaction in that truth. Legalistic people are always critical and generally cranky. And what's passed off as being devoted is really bitterness. Now, scribes created this law in addition to their, or as part of their 39 laws. Not only could you not pick grain and millet in your fingertips, but you also could only do medical procedures that were emergency procedures on the Sabbath. Nowhere is this found in Scripture, by the way. So I don't know where the foundation for this was, but you couldn't do unnecessary medical procedures. And so Jesus healing this man was in violation of the Sabbath, and they were waiting to catch him. You know what's ridiculous about this whole story? They worked harder to catch Jesus doing something wrong than he actually did healing this man. Now, it's absolutely ridiculous. When we focus on the wrong things, when we let religion crowd out relationship, then we become critical people. When we're not here for the right reason to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and our worship and our attention is directed to other people, we're always going to be disappointed. But when our hope is in Christ, then we can overlook the flaws and the mistakes that our brothers and sisters make. We can come alongside them, we can help them, and we can encourage them rather than being critical of them. You know, in all of this, I don't want to diminish the importance of rest and Sabbath. Now, the point of this story wasn't to say that Sabbath is not important and that rest is not important. And so, in addition to kind of having the main idea of talking about the importance of relationship over religion, of that enjoyment of Christ rather than legalism and following all the rules, I do want to just take a second and touch on something that I believe was incredibly important to Jesus as well, and that's rest and the Sabbath. And in order to do that, I actually want us to back up to between 2 weeks ago and last week's message. See, we finished this message with Peter's mother-in-law being healed and Jesus doing ministry and healing many people and casting out demons. And then we picked it up the next week as he called the first disciples, and Peter was one of those who was called. But there are three verses in between that we didn't spend any time on. And they give us a picture of how Jesus values rest. So if you remember, Jesus had this crazy busy day. He cast out a demon in the synagogue. He went over to Peter's house. He healed his mother-in-law. He cast out a bunch of demons. He healed a bunch of people. And then we ended there. But verse 42 of Luke chapter 4 says this: "And when it was day, he departed and went into the desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose.' And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea." Now, as we talk about rest this morning, I want us to understand something. I'm not trying to add to the Pharisee or to the scribes' 39 laws of the Sabbath here. These are not laws. These are suggestions that I believe will help you have a restful pattern, have things set up in your life that will benefit you. Okay? So this isn't duty or obligation. This is encouragement to follow the pattern and the lifestyle of Jesus in the way that we rest and recover. So, a few things that we see from Jesus. The first one is rest after pouring yourself out in ministry. Okay? You can rest best when you're tired, right? Have any of you gone to bed after a hard day's work and you lay down and your head hits the pillow and you instantly just fall asleep because you are just worn out? Right? We rest when we're tired, right? Because we've been pouring ourselves out. We've been giving of ourselves in ministry. We just got back from a week of vacation, and can I tell you, it was incredible, and it was restful, and it was wonderful, and I feel energized and rejuvenated. But can I tell you something? December and January were some of the longest months of my life. They were incredibly busy, and there were so many different things going on. We had all the Christmas stuff at church, and then we had the Bible Project stuff, and we had week of prayer and fasting, and my wife was in China for a week, and so I had the kids by myself, and all of these different things were going on, and it was one of the most beneficial and exciting and fruitful ministry periods of my life. It was a blast. And by the end of January, I was like, like, just needing to get away, and I was able to fully enjoy that rest. People who want to rest without doing anything are just lazy. All right? And sometimes, and this might sound harsh, sometimes when people want to like step away from a ministry or doing something, the reality of the situation, and we try to be gracious, but sometimes I look at people and I'm like, you don't need a break from the ministry that you're doing. That's the one thing in your life that you're doing for someone else. What you need a break from are the poor choices that you're making throughout the week. And I think that's true too often sometimes, that we waste our time with things that suck the life out of us. We waste our time with things that have no eternal value, so that when it comes, when we're feeling overwhelmed and stressed, that we cut the one part of our life where we're giving to someone else. So you look at Jesus, and the moment that he got away and he hid from everybody else, it was because he had just poured himself out for that entire day. He had given himself in ministry, and now he was tired, and he was worn out, and he was exhausted, and he needed to recover. And so that's the second thing, that you should rest by getting away. Getting away from the noise. It says that Jesus withdrew into the desolate place. He got away from everybody else. He got away from his disciples. He got away from the crowds that were following him. He got away. It quieted his spirit. Got away from the noise. You know, can I tell you something that might be tough? That includes getting away from technology, right? Sometimes, like, just having a cell phone on you can keep you from having a moment of recovery and rest. So maybe it means shutting that thing off for a few minutes. Some of us, our idea of resting is watching TV. They did a study of people who said that their most relaxing activity is binge watching Netflix. And they found out, they discovered that people were more stressed and anxious after that process than they were before they began. So the habit that they turned to recover was actually causing them to be more stressed and anxious than they were to begin with. And there were a number of different reasons that they were thinking that that might be the case. One, it doesn't give your brain a chance to rest. It's still active as it's watching that show, and it can have to do with the blue light from the television screen and all of these different things, all of these different theories. But the truth is that we need to sometimes take a break from that stuff and go take a walk outside or go find a quiet room and rest, maybe even take a nap. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do as a believer is take a nap. All right? I mean, there are moments that you'll need to get away and reduce those stress levels and to recover. And then the third thing is that rest means recovery for your body, your soul, and your spirit, right? If you rest one while completely engaging the other and you don't give every area of your life rest, you're going to find yourself in an unhealthy place. So rest your body. That means eat well, exercise, nap, sleep. All of those things can be beneficial. Sometimes we think of rest as like, I just need to not do any physical activity. Well, sometimes one of the best things that you can do to help your body recover and rest is to go work out, to go do something physically active. Some of us are struggling with our energy levels because we don't make that a priority. We don't find time to exercise on a regular basis. And maybe you're like, but my knees hurt, my joints hurt, my everything hurts, and when I get up in the morning, it's all pain. I can't go out and exercise. You know what the number one thing that doctors say is best for osteoarthritis? Exercise, okay? So if you can't run a marathon, that's fine. Go for a walk, right? Find something to move and to improve your health. Put good things into your body. My default when I'm tired and I just want some comfort food, I want some pizza, right? That's not good, all right? If you want to feel better, don't put junk into your body, okay? Now, I'm all for enjoying some food that's fun every once in a while, but if you want to be in a restful place, put good things into your body. rest your soul as well. Sometimes hanging out with a friend and having coffee is a restful experience. It depends on your personality. Maybe you just need a quiet afternoon with a book or something like that. Also, bring rest and recovery to your spirit. You know what? It doesn't give this example in this moment, but it's probably true, because when other times when Jesus talks about getting away, what does he do? He goes and prays. Right? Now Jesus, the only person who never sinned, when he had some free time, he still needed that connection with his Father. He still needed that time with him. And your spirit needs recovery. It needs to be built up as well. So spending time in prayer and reading the Word is important in those restful moments. So rest means recovery for your body, your soul, and your spirit. And then the last thing is that rest is preparation to go again. Right? What does it say? The people wanted to keep him from leaving, but he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. You know, as we close today, I'm going to have the worship team come, and we're going to sing a song, but as they come, I want to just ask a question here today. Maybe you're here and you're just feeling a little bit tired, and you're feeling a little bit weary. You're feeling a little bit worn out in some area of your life, and you need to find rest. Can I tell you, these two parts of this message this morning might seem a little bit disconnected, but in reality, our rest comes from relationship with God. What does Jesus say in verse 5? He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. His point was this. It's not that rest in the ways that we've talked about this morning are a bad thing. But ultimately, if you want to be energized, if you want to be rejuvenated, if you want to feel alive, the only way to find that is in Jesus Christ. He is our rest. He is our peace. The person of Jesus Christ, a relationship with him, is what brings life to us. And so if you're here this morning and you're feeling discouraged, and you're feeling tired, and you're feeling worn out, can I tell you something? There's hope for you in Jesus Christ.